Welcome back to Believe in Ravens podcast. This is the first episode of the 2025 all season. This is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, your number one most trusted source for online wagering. Make sure you visit BetOnline_AG on all social media platforms and on your web browser. It is the most anticipated gambling weekend of the year coming up. It'll be Super Bowl Sunday next weekend, so make sure you visit BetOnline_AG for all your sports wagering and parlay needs. Daniel, it's been a minute since we've been on air, buddy. we kind of had to get our minds right because full disclosure to everybody that listens to our show, and it's quite a few of you guys and girls. Post show, me and Daniel usually BS for about 15-20 minutes, sometimes longer, depending on if it's just us or a guest. Daniel was so pissed off about this game, he signed off after about a minute and a half last week. So we've been talking, but we needed to kind of have a reset for the show. So here we are. This is our end of the year award show for the team. So we have six awards that we're going to give out to the respective Ravens for this show. Daniel and I aren't going to align on all of them, so it's kind of be a little bit of an open debate, so to speak. So first and foremost, Daniel, how is everything on your end, my man?
Everything is good, man. You're right, Matt, you said it 100% correct, but we was pissed after the last loss. Really thought this year was our year, just like we thought last year was all year. So it's starting to kind of be one of those Dallas Cowboys type feelings to me. Like, come on, bro. And with me being from Atlanta too, you know, like Atlanta Falcons get your hopes up. Last time we went to the Super Bowl, we jumped up on Tom Brady about 30 points down there, and then he came back and won the game. So that's our kind of look down here in Atlanta. So for us to be able to be where we were in the position we were and kind of drop the ball the way we dropped it was very disappointing. It was a tough loss for me. And I think I was trying to explain to Matt, like, I think this would have really kind of feel like to be a fan. Like, I don't think I've ever been a fan of the actual game. I just love football, like, so passionate about football my entire life. I've played it ever since I was 4 or 5 years old, you know? So now that I'm retired, I'm transitioning to a true fan. Like, I bleed purple. Like, I got almost every single Baltimore Raven hat there is. And I see one that I don't have, I'm like, I got to have that. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's official. I'm officially a fan now, even now that I'm retired from the NFL and I've been sitting here watching this team and covering this team. And I think a part of being with me and Matt is, you know, watching the games week in and week out, and we're watching it from an analytical eye. You know, I think I've definitely transitioned myself over into a Baltimore Ravens fan. And I bleed purple. I've already bleeded purple before because I love the Ravens. I absolutely love this organization, love this team from the owner all the way down. And I don't have nothing but love and respect for it, you know. So I really, truly appreciate the Ravens for everything they've done for myself and my family, and all the people that are dear to me. Because everybody that loves me has absolutely fallen in love with the Baltimore Ravens as well. So to see us lose the way that we lost, it was tough for me. Like it was hard. I felt like I lost that game too. And as soon as they dedicated the season, Lamar was the one that dedicated the season to Jacoby. You know, I dedicated it to him too as well, man. Jacoby was a good friend of mine, and you know, to see him lose at the beginning, to see him lose his life at the beginning of the year, like he did. You know, I thought this was one of those seasons. And usually, every time you go to a Super Bowl, it's some form of tragedy or some form of thing that make everybody kind of get totally buy in and get locked in for that year. You know, so losing Coach D and Jacoby at the same time, I thought those was enough to kind of get us, you know, centric and focused and, you know, to make this thing even more special than what it really could have been. So to see us lose the way we lost, you know, was kind of heartbreaking, man. And then it fell in the hand. The last play came down to a tight end making a play. And, you know, I'm tight ends for life, baby. So to see Mark Andrews drop that ball was sickening for me. You know, we couldn't lost it no worse way in my mind. And I hate it, man. I really do hate it.
Yeah, it's really tough to stomach how the season ended. And to be 100% transparent with everybody watching, and I texted you immediately after it happened.
Yeah.
Nothing made me happier than seeing the Buffalo Bills go home this past weekend. Because I am a hater. I'm an absolute hater. And yeah, I have no problem admitting that I'm a hater. And the way they lost was a tight end dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that things got a little dicey between us and the Buffalo Bills fan bases. And to see our season end like that and know that there's a lot of questions. And of course, we're going to be, you know, putting together content all off season, man. You know, we got the draft coming up. We got free agency coming up. There's going to be some tough decisions that are made. There's going to be some players that are not going to be here that you might not expect. And we never know what this, you know, off season holds. You know, everything's going to get kicked up in about the next 6 weeks. But Daniel, yes, I know that we're doing our award show, and this is the first time we've done this together. So this is going to be for the 2024 overall season. I'm going to let you kick it off. Who is your offensive MVP for the Baltimore Ravens?
Man, so the offensive MVP for me was really, really hard because you had Derrick Henry come in and he did what he did. And then you got Lamar Jackson, you know, having one of those phenomenal years. So just looking at this season, I want to give it to Lamar, you know, but then I also want to kind of give it to Derrick Henry as well, you know, and I think we have the most dynamic quarterback in the entire world. You know, so in saying that, it's kind of hard not to give it to Lamar, you know, but at the same time, when I look at what Derrick Henry did and how he did it, and I remember me and Matt talked about this towards the end of the season, it was one of those things to me where he did what he did with less reps than what everybody else did, you know. So to say Saquon Barkley's had like, you know, 70 more reps than he had or something at the end of the season, and Derrick Henry was right there on his heels, and Harbaugh literally went in front of the entire world and said we didn't bring him here to give him 30 touches a game, you know, but he could have had 30 touches a game, bro. He would have probably hit 300. He would probably hit 3,000 yards rushing this year, you know? So yeah. I want to give it to Derrick Henry, and I want to give it to Lamar Jackson. I think for me, it's a tie, you know. What you think, Matt?
My offensive MVP, I'm going with Lamar. It was hard because Derrick Henry changed the entire scope of this offense and just the overall production, but I feel as though Derek affected Lamar.
Yeah.
But Lamar affected Derek more because
you think
this is the first time in Derek Henry's career. I'm not taking anything away from Derek's Tennessee Titans career. This is the first time in his career where a defense didn't have to worry about only him.
Right.
Where they're not focusing and putting 8 or 9 in the box, and they're not making, you know, a heavier defense to combat him.
Yeah.
Teams had to respect Lamar's legs and his arm. So
I 100% agree.
And then with the offensive line giving him the type of blocking they gave him, we didn't really have a great offensive line by our standards this year. And we still led the league in yards before contact with Derrick Henry, not being touched on average, and not every play, but on average, it was 3 yards of rushing before he was even touched. So if you think about how far he lines up in the backfield plus 3 yards off the line of scrimmage, he's going 11 yards untouched before he even hits somebody. Yeah. So he benefited from that. And at the same time, Lamar did as well. But Lamar is the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to put up 4,000 pass yards and 900 rushing yards.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever see that again, even from him. Right, we might see 100%. The 4,000 again, but Lamar is now going to go into his age 29 season this year. He's pushing that 30 mark, and I'm not saying that it's like where quarterbacks fall off because they generally mature around that age.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to run as much. I think we're going to lean on Derek. I think we're going to lean on Heat, and we're going to lean on Justice a lot more next year you think we're going to lean on Lamar a little bit more?
I think it's going to be pretty consistent of what it was. I think Lamar has gotten a taste of, all right, I got to run the damn ball. And when he ran the ball this year, I felt like that's why he drew as much attention that he did, because people was actually afraid of him running it again. The year before, people kind of went to sleep a little bit because he stopped running the ball altogether. And we looked at the AFC Championship game last year, mad as hell. Like, why the hell Lamar ain't running all the opportunities he had? This year, he ran a lot. And I think that helped Derrick Henry out tremendously. And I think the fact that he had Derrick Henry back there, every time he stepped back there in that backfield, people was worried. They was absolutely worried about Henry getting the ball.
I mean, I'm gonna kind of agree with what Vinny Serrato, who is a local radio personality, former general manager of the Commanders and the 49ers.
He said that
the Ravens shouldn't rely on Lamar's legs nearly as much when you got a 6'4", 270-pound running back in the backfield. Right. And no matter if you say he's 240, 250, 270, that's a big dude. I don't care how you shake it. I mean, he's a big
dude. You know what, Matt? Like, I don't think they did. I don't think they like, you think about it, how many, like that last game, it wasn't no real design runs for Lamar.
It wasn't. Like, no, he had zero design runs against Buffalo.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, but the game against Pittsburgh, no. He had some design runs.
I think he had 10 or 11 that game alone.
Right.
And I think most of them came in the first drive.
Yeah, I don't feel like they relied on his legs as much at all. I think they stopped relying on his legs over a year ago, you know? So it's not that they rely on his legs, because they really didn't need Lamar legs to be what they were. We was number one rushing offense last year. We're number one rushing offense this year. Like, and it could have been way worse, you know, really, if we just ran the ball but we didn't run the ball as much. They tried to let Lamar, you know, throw the ball as much as possible, and they tried to make it more of a balanced offense. Yeah, I don't really think we needed to do that at all. I think we could have just, you know, ran the ball down people's throat all the way to the Super Bowl, to be honest with you.
I agree with you. Moving on. So you split the offensive MVP award. I gave it to Lamar.
I'm with you on Lamar, too. Like, to me, Lamar is the number one player in the NFL. If they did NFL players top 100, Lamar got to be number one. I don't care what nobody say.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley will be number two, probably.
Yeah. So I'm with you. So this year for the defensive MVP, I'll kick this one off. My pick is Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
And I'll justify that by saying the man is the elder statesman of the defense. He's the oldest defensive player we have on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
He's found the fountain of youth here. He's happy here. His family loves it here. He's really found his fit as a edge rusher, edge setter. He can do everything. He drops into coverage, but he's an excellent pass rusher. He led the team in sacks for the second straight year. Mm-hmm. So for outside linebackers, Madubuike had 13 and a half last year, but he didn't get close to that this year. So I'm going to go with Van Noy. I think that he was like the glue to the front seven, especially early on when the defense was struggling, he was still producing. So He maintained that edge. He was a good bookend to Odafe Owe all year long. I think it really goes without saying that he's a leader of this team, and the guys look to him to, you know, for leadership capabilities and purposes. So I'm going to go with Kyle Van Noy as my pick for defensive MVP. I think he had an excellent season, and I think that he's going to have another good year next year. He is getting towards the end of his career, so this contract might be his last one, but he's finishing strong, and he's a Super Bowl champion. He's a proven winner, and he brought that mentality to the defense over the last few seasons.
Yeah, I like Kyle too, man. But this was a hard one for me. Like, I feel like our defense struggled all year long. The only thing that I felt like was consistent on his defense from game one to game 18 was freaking Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphreys, Roquan Smith, and Van Noy. So it was between those four guys for me. And I kind of battled in my mind back and forth between Kyle and really Marlon, because I just felt like they had such phenomenal seasons this year. Of course, Marlon, this is a contract year for him. Most guys play their best in their contract year. But that Kyle Hamilton, bro, like he's different, bro. When I say he's different, he's so freaking different to me. Like, I just – when I think about him, like, all season long, the only knock that I got on him is that he don't pick off more balls. If he picked off more balls, then I think he would be phenomenal. Like, I feel like he's probably the best safety in the league, hands down. And the year that Marlon has had all year long is was so weird, because, like, I literally, the last couple of years, I was like, man, Marlon done. Like, he kind of washed up. You know, I think he almost about ready to pack those bags and head on out. And I look back to the beginning of the year, and I kind of felt like it all transitioned back to that video on social media with Lamar telling him to get this shit out of his face. Like, bro, you need to be focused on the game. You know what I'm saying? You remember that video when they was on the plane?
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like that video kind of kicked Marlon into gear to really get focused and to really, you know, dial in, man. He just had such a phenomenal year. He was the only consistent thing on defense, I felt like, all year long. If you need a turnover – 44 was the only one that was going to be the one that was going to make it happen for you almost. You know, Van Noy had such a phenomenal year with the sack game, but I felt like he had a better year last year to me. Did he have more sacks last year?
He had more sacks this year.
He had more sacks this year than he did last year? Yeah. For some reason, I felt like he had a better year last year than he did this year, and I thought he had a really good year this year as well. I remember the money game when he was hitting the money sign on us.
Yep.
You know, so I was I was happy to see him kind of get off. I'm not sure if he's the one that the defense turned to. I don't know if it's him with his senior leadership or if it's Roquan Smith, because he calls all the plays. You know, so I'm not 100% sure if it's Roquan or if it's Kyle. You know, so I think if it's up to me, really honestly, the year that Marlon had, I think I'd go with Marlon Humphrey. I love Van Noy. I think he's phenomenal. And he's been consistent as heck all year long. He's had a heck of a year as well. But I think I would go with Marlon Humphreys for this one.
That's a fine choice as well. I picked Marlon for another award. To touch on the Kyle Van Noy stats, his two career high sack years were here in Baltimore. He had 9 last year. Gotcha. He had 12 and a half this year.
Wow.
So he's got 55 career total sacks, and he had 22 of them in the last two years. So
that's crazy.
He's had a third of his sacks here in Baltimore. So
we might need to get Chuck Smith on. Let Chuck tell us what's the difference.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be real nice.
Yeah.
But this one's a little bit of a different award that I came up with for us.
Yeah.
Special teams MVP. I picked Chris Board. I know he's a Pro Bowler, and it's kind of like, that's easy, but
yeah.
Overall, Chris played all 17 games, didn't miss a single game. He had 22 total tackles on the team, and 11 of them were on special teams alone. So if you think about, kickoffs and punt, kickoffs and punts, he averaged almost a tackle a game. And like you were a special teams guy for a majority of your career. So you know what it's like to compete to get down to that ball carrier every single play that you're out there. And sometimes on special teams, you could kick off 3 times in a game. You could kick off twice in a game. You could kick off. You won't kick off at all except for the one kick you have to make, whether you're kicking off the start of the game or the second half. But, it's really a difficult type of thing to be a consistent tackling machine on special teams. So yeah, I picked Chris Board.
Yeah, you kick off a lot when your team score a lot. This team scored a lot this year, so we kicked off a lot. We was the leading scoring team almost throughout most of the season. So, we was definitely top 2 by the end of the season. So we kicked off an awful lot this season. The difference between now and back when I played is that most of our kickoff actually got returned. Most of them now are touchbacks. A lot of them are not coming out. So as far as this one I'm concerned, like to me, the only other person I would have put up there on this list is 16.
Tylan Wallace.
Yeah, he had a heck of a year this year too. And he made a name for himself again this year. So as far as I'm concerned, Chris Board is 100% got my vote for a special teams player of the year. I agree with you 100% on that.
All right. So we have our play of the year, not player, play of the year.
Yep.
So the play that still stands out to me, and I'm going to give Derrick Henry his flowers on this one. The 87-yard touchdown run against Buffalo in week 4.
100%.
I feel like that was the play that really said, Derrick Henry said, I'm here and I'm ready to take the league over again. He hit 22 miles an hour in the open field. He outran the entire Buffalo Bills secondary, and he had him by 3 or 4 yards the entire second 40 yards of that run. So I think that's a play of the year for us. There's a lot that you can say they're a play of the year. Lamar, shaking off Sam Hubbard in Cincinnati and throwing the touchdown to Isaiah Likely, or doing the same thing to Will Anderson on Christmas and doing that, or the Tylan Wallace touchdown.
Yep.
There's a lot of different things you can reference for
name them
play
all,
of the baby. Year. The Michael Pierce interception dropping into coverage.
It was another
Nate Wiggins first
pick six.
pick six. There's Marlon Humphrey's, you know, two interception game in Tampa Bay where he made that incredible interception that he got hurt on. There's just a lot of different plays that you can reference. You can reference pretty much any of those as a potential play of the year. But that 87-yard touchdown run where Derrick Henry, that was the first play of the game. It set the tone for that game. We ended up winning 35-10. So I feel like that was the play of the year for me.
And I think that was Monday Night Football too, if I remember correct.
I believe so.
Yeah.
We were all black.
Yeah, I'm 100% in on that one. That was a hell of a play. I love Tylan Wallace's game winning touchdown catch. That was phenomenal. The play you're talking about with Sam Hubbard when Lamar stiffed arm and then threw the touchdown to Isaiah Likely. And then it was the Michael Pierce interception for me. That shit was the most funniest thing, I think, all year long. He big fella took that knee so quick, man.
He did it so agile. He saw 80 yards in front of him. Was like, I'm good right here.
He shut that thing down. Yes, talking about making a business decision. That was a business decision right there, Matt. All day.
Yeah. I looked up a lot of our highlights trying to put it together, but the 87-yard touchdown run just kept on sticking out to me because
it was a great run, bro.
And the fact that the cameraman zoomed in on Derrick Henry's face and he's smiling and like he has like this menacing smile on his face while he's running. It's just insane. You're running over 20 miles an hour. You're 260 pounds and nobody's even close to you.
Yeah.
And you look happy. Like I would be dead running 8 yards, let alone 87 yards.
Yeah, that face he made, man, was a meme all year long too.
It was.
Yeah, it's crazy to see that. I love it. I agree with you 100%. I'm with it with the Derrick Henry run.
All right. So our next award is breakout star of the year for the Ravens, and I am going to give Rashad Bateman his due. A lot of people, myself included, have been overly critical of him at times over the last couple of years. Yeah. Rashad Bateman is probably going to end up being a wide receiver one for somebody soon. He's got a couple more years left here. But Rashad Bateman had a career year, almost 900 yards, you know, 7 or 8 touchdowns this year. Yeah. The dude made clutch catches. There was games where he only made 3 catches, but 2 of them were for a first down, and then the other one was a touchdown, that type of situation. So, to me, this year, Rashad Bateman is the breakout star. He became the receiver that we drafted him to be. And it took a lot of hard feelings, and it took a lot of, you know, give and take on both sides between his agent and the team to get him back on the field here and not trade him like we did Hollywood in his contract year. That's where a lot of us thought it was heading is that Rashad Bateman was going to be suiting up for somebody else in his contract year. And it turned out to be just the opposite. Not only did he stay a Raven, but he became one of the most consistent and overall highly productive targets for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. When I think about the type of year he had such a phenomenal year, but that one play sticks out in my head over and over again. When Lamar threw the ball downfield and hit him in the face mask, that sticks out in my face, like in my head a lot. And he's made so many phenomenal plays, and it's crazy. Cause I remember playing and they were like, man, you're only as good as your last play, you know? And you know, when you make a mistake, that's all they remember is the mistakes. So the fact that I remember the mistake, you know, kind of bothers me a little bit right now, being retired and knowing that's how they see us. All they remember is the mistakes we made versus remembering all the big plays we made. The dude made a ton of big plays. I'm talking about he got behind DBs all year long, had a phenomenal season this year. And he's a guy that I didn't think was going to be here because I remember the Twitter beef, and he ended up saying something about Eric DaCosta in one of his tweets, you know, because DaCosta was saying something about who keep missing on first round receivers. And Bate took it literal, like it was a jab at him, and you know he ended up saying something. So I didn't know if Bate was actually going to be back and become a Raven. So to see him play the way he played this year, you know, I'm all for giving it to him. The only other person I would have gave this award to is 29, you know, Washington,
Ardarius. The only reason I didn't give it to him personally is because
he didn't play the whole season.
He didn't. He was on the bench for the first 9 weeks of the season.
That's why it was hard for me to give it to him, too. That's why I agree with you on Bate.
Yeah. You know, because Bateman to me exemplifies, you know, a guy that was being questioned as even being the number two or the number three guy last year.
Right.
And the year before he was hurt, you know, he's dealt with a lot of injuries. And then this year.
He was being questioned this year. That's why they went and got Deontay Johnson. Yeah, he dropped that damn ball in that game, and they went and got Deontay Johnson the next week.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he was being questioned this season too. So he had his moments this year. He did. He got over that shit, and that's what you got to do in this league. You got to have amnesia. That's what we tell each other all the time, bro. You got to have amnesia. Forget that play. That shit's over. Move on to the next. And he did just that, man. He made some phenomenal plays. Even the last game of the year, you know, the first touchdown of the game went to Bate. You know, so he stepped up. You know, when Zay went down, we good. I got you, bro.
First touchdown went to Bate, and the last one Lamar threw this year went to Bate.
Yeah.
So you can see that he was being looked for. Right. The last award for the 2024 award show for the Ravens is Comeback Player of the Year, and I picked Marlon Humphrey for that. Based on the last couple of years where he had the 2019 where he had the 8 forced fumbles, and he's, you know, all pro Marlowe that year, and then he had some injury issues, and then people were like, oh, is he slowing down? I was hard on Marlowe. I was hard on Marlon a lot.
I was too.
Yeah. And I was a little pissed off with some of his off-field antics with the social media stuff. But every player has their right to it, just like we have our right to it. So I'm not gonna, you know, beat a dead horse. But 6 interceptions, was locked down almost the entire year.
Yeah.
The man played his ass off, and he does have a year left on his contract.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially a contract year because they finagled it up to where this could have potentially been it if he didn't perform. And now Marlon went from the beginning of the year, are we going to extend him, to now, how much do you pay him?
Pay the man.
I don't think you can let Marlon go in an offseason where you're going to let Brandon Stevens go.
You think they're going to let Brandon go?
Absolutely.
Damn, and speak your mind, man.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to be derogative towards Stevens. We all know what his problem was this year.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I'm saying we don't give him a big payday is that we got a lot of other players that we got to worry about. We have to worry about re-signing Ronnie Stanley. We have to worry about re-signing Ardarius Washington, Patrick Ricard, potentially Patrick McCary. Tylan Wallace is a free agent. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's gonna pay Tylan Wallace.
No, I think he'll come back, but if somebody sees value in him, he's gone.
He's gone.
And it's gonna be heartbreaking. I mean, at this point, it's an embarrassment of riches on the offensive side of the ball in terms of playmakers.
You gotta figure out who you're gonna get rid of in that wide receiver room. Who more important to you? I think Tyler. Right. Could definitely take on a bigger role in this offense. Yeah, I think you can get rid of. I hate to tell you, but I think you can get rid of Nelson Aguilar and bring Tyler.
Well, he's a free agent this year, so I don't think Nelson comes back. Yeah. A lot of it had to do with his concussion this year. I think he was still feeling the after effects of that. Yeah. And Rashad just became the number two, the number two wide receiver with his production and his consistency, and the fact that he didn't get hurt a whole lot.
I hope it motivates him to go work out and train harder this offseason.
And I think it will. But the only reason I say that we're not going to give Stevens the money he wants here is because we got a lot more people that we need that are a priority ahead of him.
Hold on. Has he said what he wants, though? Has he already stated what he wants?
He hasn't stated it.
He's not in a position to demand anything.
He's not. But the thing is, teams are notorious for overpaying our defensive players. Now,
I don't think that's going to happen in his case.
It might not happen in his case, but I don't think he's going to take pennies on the dollar from us to be the third cornerback, because Marlon's going to start again next year and Wiggins is going to start.
I think you need to move him to safety.
But then you're talking about taking Ardarius off the field.
No, you're not.
If they run three safety, but then you're talking about putting Hamilton back down in the box.
I say move him to safety, let him earn it. Move him to safety. Give him a 1-year deal this year. Move him to safety. Let him earn it. Let's see who's the best safety out of the three that you got back there. And then let's go from there.
Yeah. Well, who's the best out of the other two? Because Hamilton is one of the best safeties in football, period.
Right.
But,
I truly think 21 would be a hell of a safety if you move him to safety. He has the size. He's physical enough. I think he'll come down and hit you. He showed
it in the last game. You don't have to worry about turning around and finding the ball.
Even in the last game, he showed he'll come up and knock piss out of you. You know, so it's like, you're right. He ain't got to worry about trying to find the ball. The ball will always be in front of him. He just got to take the right angle, you know. So
right.
I think you give him a whole offseason of training at the safety spot. Tell him right now, move him to safety, and then go from there.
Yeah. But, that will do it for our 2024 year-end award show. This episode's been brought to you by BetOnline.ag, your number one most trusted source in online sports wagering and parlays. Daniel, we will be back with another episode coming to you guys over the weekend. We are going to be talking about the Ravens off-field news and notes, and that one's going to be fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, folks, that's it. That'll do it for us. That'll do it for us. We'll see you guys soon.
Bird Gang, we back. Let's do it.